This is Dave Gloetz. I'm here with Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. How are you doing today, Ben?
Doing pretty good, Dave.
Today we're talking about the article that appears in the April 9th, 2009 edition of the Reader, written by Ben and Mick Dumke. And the title of the article is Fail: How Daley and His Crew Hid Their Process from the Public, Ignored Their Own Rules, Railroaded the City Council, and Screwed the Taxpayers on the Parking Meter Lease Deal. And I think that title pretty much summarizes the thrust of the article. The article is a pretty detailed chronicle of the events that Ben and Mick feel led up to the leasing of Chicago parking meters to a consortium of private firms. And the chronicle starts in January of 2005 with the city's deal to lease the Chicago Skyway to a different consortium. One of the things you talked about is that in February of 2008, the city issued a request for qualifications, inviting firms to present credentials to leasing the parking meters. And one of the things that you quote is the then chief financial officer, Paul Volpe, saying that the private company would do a better job managing the meters. But you also say that the city seems to be pretty good at doing that. With operating expenses of $4 million, it hauled in almost $23 million. In 2007. And I'm wondering if Volpe provided any clarification that the city's operating expenses were roughly 17% of revenues. Did the city specify, for example, what percentage they wanted to aim for? A lower percentage, perhaps?
You're being way more logical than the city is. Those are cavalier assessments that Mayor Daley and his aides make when they want to justify whatever privatization plan they had. They said similar things about Midway when they were selling Midway. Well, private people are better at running airports than we are, even though I don't know of many complaints about the operation at Midway, so it seemed like one of the better run city services. So you're looking for something that they didn't offer. They merely have this notion that they assert every now and then. And I remember they made the same assertion with the parking garages when they sold the parking garages. Well, private people are better at running parking garages than we are. The idea that you raised is a good one. It's actually the first time I've heard it, and that is, what is an acceptable amount of money that should be spent either by the city or a private contractor to operate the parking meters? I see your point. That's sort of the kind of thing that you would do if you were legitimately studying an issue to see if there was a better way of operating, in this case, the parking meters. There's another element of privatization, and that's the notion of profit. There's a couple of ways of looking at this. You could talk about overhead costs as a negative if you're talking about employing lots of working class people. But there's a tendency to overlook the negative of overhead costs when they're profits for a few people. And I would argue that it's better for the city as a whole to employ people, spend a greater percentage of their revenue employing people than to have that money go into the hands of a few people, many of whom don't even live in Chicago. I guess there's a lot of different ways of looking at this if you wanted to study it seriously, which of course nobody in the city of Chicago really did study seriously, and that's sort of the underlying point of the article that Mick and I wrote.
Let's talk about the transparency of the bid process. One of the things that keeps coming up in your article is that you guys had to go after the details of bids through Freedom of Information Act requests. And I'm talking specifically about the responses to the request for qualifications from prospective operators for Midway. And then even with the parking meter bids, the city would not reveal what the losing bids were. Aren't there any statutory or even customary reasons for them to disclose that stuff while it's in process? I mean, should it have to take doing Freedom of Information Act requests to get this information?
Well, I don't know about the statutory requirement. There should be a political and a practical requirement. If they're asking the city council to approve such a sweeping measure and such a controversial measure as the sale of the parking meters, I would expect the city council to demand this documentation up front as part of its own vetting process. But of course, the city council, as we've said many times in these interviews, is merely a rubber stamp. And so the city obviously feels no compulsion to give them this documentation. What we see in many cases is the city officials asserting that they have such documentation, and that's good enough. In the aftermath, after the council has enacted the sale, then reporters like Mick and myself start pestering the city to provide us with the documentation that they say they have at hand. And then, of course, we get lost in Freedom of Information land, which is another world where they dump you and they don't want to have to deal with your questions.
You describe how the deal with the parking concessionaire has a provision where the city council and the city retain the right to set the rates and the hours of operation and the locations of parking meters. However, the agreement provides that if there's any reduction in the number of meters or the rates or the hours of the meters that negatively impact the overall value of the meter system, meaning the revenues that go to the concessionaire, it could result in a payment by the city to the concessionaire. And I've seen this described in a number of places, and it's also described in a December analysis by Alderman Scott Wagespach and his staff of the parking meter concession, and you mentioned that in your article. I asked someone from Alderman Wagespach's office, Patrick Powinski, who is one of the authors of that analysis, if that is a significant provision, and here's what he said.
Our ward has already run into that issue because the alderman wanted to change the timing on the meters in certain parts of the ward, I believe, so that they would be till 6 p.m. He said, and then we got a report back saying that the city would have to pay the concessionaire $150,000 over the next 3 years if we were to reduce the times on the meters.
So you've already seen the impact?
Yes. It will reduce the city's ability to use the meters as a urban planning tool.
What's your take on that?
I'm going to follow up on that. I didn't know that. I mean, I knew that they had a provision in there that protected their interests, they being Morgan Stanley. I think that underscores the central point that this was a bad deal for the city of Chicago. This was a good deal for Mayor Daley in that it gave him up front $1 billion to play with. God only knows how he's going to play with it. But it's a bad deal for everyone else. I mean, if you think of parking meters, what's the purpose of parking meters? That's a whole other discussion. Do you use parking meters? You know, generally they're used to regulate the flow of traffic. They're used to help shopping districts by forcing people either to move on or allowing them to stay so you can have a turnover. You know, there's different reasons why you have parking meters on the streets. More and more, in this case, they're almost used as a punitive measure against the citizens of Chicago, a way of punishing them, the way I view it, for rebelling against a tax hike. So what Mayor Daley says, okay, you don't want higher taxes, you're whining and crying about that, we'll raise them another way. And I think it was a very cynical move by the Daley administration to reap a huge windfall up front, which they're free to spend with almost any, without any control. So yeah, the point that you make there, that there may be, we may want to employ parking meters in different ways in different spots to meet the needs of a neighborhood, is a very good one. And there isn't any oversight on this. There wasn't any strategic planning. They just sold away the parking meters because they wanted some upfront cash. And I'm really not quite clear what they're going to do with that upfront cash at all.
Well, that may be the subject of a future article.
Yes, obviously.
Ben Jaroski of the Chicago Reader, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Dave.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.